You know, Christmas is such an old tradition that we use words at Christmas time that make us feel good and make us they continue the tradition, and so they feel right, but they're not words that we use any other time, and so I'm not sure that we really stop to think about what they mean. You know, like we talk to the children about the word Mary. How often do we use that word? Have a merry day, you know. It's not a word we use often, but it's that traditional way of saying happy. Well, what about the word Christmas itself? The word Christmas, where's that come from? It was originally Christ's Mass. It was remembering the day of worship in which the church had a special worship service in which they celebrated that Christ was born. It was the Mass for Christ, Christ's Mass. And so when we say Merry Christmas, we're saying, I hope you find joy in worshiping while you remember that Jesus was born. That's really how you put it all together. By the way, that's one reason that it always kind of rubs me a little bit the wrong way when we play with the word Christmas and change it up. It kind of changes the whole point. Merry Christmas is, I hope you find joy in worshiping as you celebrate that Jesus was born. And, you know, some of the other words we use, like the song we just sang, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. How many times do we use the word hark in everyday vernacular? Driving down the highway, and the wife says, "Hark, husband, hear the song on the radio." For that matter, how often do we use the word herald anymore? The angel's name is not herald. To herald is to announce. Particularly used when it means to announce good news. Hark means to listen up. That's what we might say today. Listen up. Hark, the herald angels sing. Listen up, because the messengers who have some really good news are about to tell us that good news, and they're going to do it in a song. And we don't want to miss it. So listen up. I think we just kind of miss some of the meaning of the words we use because we've grown up using them, and we kind of miss part of the point. Well, because of that, I wanted us to think about Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Listen up, the good news messengers are singing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. That's what the newborn King is going to bring. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. There's that peace between God and man because Jesus has come. Joyful, all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. In other words, let's all get together and let's join the angels in their singing. We ought to all be heralding the good news that Jesus Christ is born. That's good news. And it's worth telling. You know, we spend a whole lot of our time telling news that's not worth telling. Yeah, you know you do. We spend a whole lot of time on the phone, texting, Facebooking, and we're telling news that's really not worth telling. But there's some good news that's worth telling here. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. There's something to rejoice about. Jesus has been born. Messiah has come. God's plan is being unfolded before our very eyes. That's good news. It's news worth telling. And so that night, the night of Jesus' birth, the angels got to tell the story. And I want us to look at it again in Luke chapter 2, that traditional text that tells the Christmas story. I want us to return to it again this year. Luke chapter 2, we begin at verse 10. It says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, Well, who's he talking to and why are they scared? You know the story. The shepherds have gathered on the field and they're watching their flock by night. And all of a sudden, an angel appears before them. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." How often in Scripture does the angel say to a human being, "Don't be afraid"? There's a reason the angel says that, because that's a pretty scary experience. When everything else in life just seems normal and the day is going like every other day, and then all of a sudden a messenger of God appears and the bright light shines everywhere around, I would need him to tell me, "Don't be afraid." My immediate response was, "What kind of trouble am I in now?" And he would say, "Don't be afraid. I know it looks like I'm coming down to get you. I know it looks like I've got some bad news for you. But don't be afraid, because I've got good news." And it's not just a little bit of good news. It's good news of great joy, he says. Behold, in verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. I want us to think together about that story. The first thing I want us to think about is the messenger of joy. The messenger of joy. There it is. That was real subtle, wasn't it? There it is. Think together with me this morning about the messenger of joy. The angel. The word angel really means messenger. What we did was take the Greek word angelos. Angelos means messenger. What we did was take the Greek word angelos and we put their Greek A and we wrote down an English A. We put their Greek N and we wrote down an English A. We created the word angel. But when they saw it, when they saw that word, they didn't necessarily think like we do of the guy in white with the big wings and the halo. They saw that word. They saw the word messenger. God's messenger. And so here is the messenger said to them, "Don't be afraid. I've got some good news of some great joy. I have glad tidings," King James says. It's news. I've got something to tell you, and I can't wait to be able to tell you. This angel was in that way then the first evangelist. He was the first evangelist to get to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we believe that angels were created before the fall of man. We believe that angels were created before man. So imagine this. Imagine you're the angel who gets to tell the good news. And from the creation, from the beginning of time, as we understand it, from the beginning of time, you have been waiting for God's plan to come together to be fulfilled. Galatians 4 says it was in the perfect time. It was at the right time. I believe King James uses the fullness of time. Christ was born. So imagine being that angel, just waiting and waiting and waiting until that day that Jesus is finally born and you finally get to announce. And who does God pick? He picks you as the messenger. You're the one, and you get to stand and be the very first one in all of creation to say, "I know God's plan. I've seen it come together, and now it's happening right here in Bethlehem. I've got good news." What a joy for the messenger, the first evangelist to tell the good news. Well, let me tell you something this morning. That was a joy for him. Now it's our joy, because we know the good news. And now we get to be the messenger. We get to be the ones who tell the world that Jesus Christ has been born. We get to tell them that Christmas is fun and it's joyful and it's wonderful, but there's a whole lot more to it than you might get if you just get the Christmas off of TV or out of the stores. There's a whole lot more to it. I've got some good news for you, my neighbor. I've got some good news for you, my friend, my family member. I've got good news of great joy. We get to be the messenger now of joy. Go tell it on a mountain. Tell it on the mountain, because everybody ought to have a chance to hear the good news that Jesus has been born. Isaiah says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. What a joy it is to be able to be the messenger to bring the good news. Well, then not only notice the messenger of joy, but notice the message of joy. What did he say? We understand who the angel was, but what did he say? The message is summarized for us in 11. Today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He said, I've got good news. Not just good news, but good news of joy. Not just good news of joy, but good news of great joy. I can't wait to tell you, because it's such good news. Every word in this text is emphatic right there, where he says, I've got good news of great joy. I can't wait to tell you. And then he tells that good news. He brings the message of joy. He says, unto you is born this day. Now don't run by that too quickly, because that's a big part of the message. That's a big part of what makes it joyful. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Not just that the world gets a new chance. It's not just that he is born, but he is born unto you. You see, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God gave us his son. That's amazing. That the creator of all that exists, the only one who is almighty, would choose to give us that greatest of all gifts. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, when you and I see that word Savior, we recognize that as a spiritual Savior. When we hear the word Savior, we think about the cross, because we know that's where Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins. When they heard the word Savior, the crucifixion of Christ had not yet happened. They would not fully understand him to be the one who would be the spiritual Savior. They heard Deliverer. Saver, one who saves them from the oppression that they were experiencing, from the loss that they had day after day. They were looking forward to and longing for one who would save them out of their current experience. And he says, I've got good news for you. Unto you is born this day. You don't have to wait any longer. It has happened. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, one who will come and deliver you. And who is that one who will come? Not just a mighty military fellow, not just a new emperor, not just a strong political leader, but unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And when they saw the word Christ, for them it was Messiah. You see, Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah. When he said those words, he wasn't giving them a name. To us, Christ is a name. To them, it was a title. When he said, he is Christ, they said, Messiah. The one Daddy talked about. The one Grandpa talked about, the one his grandpa talked about, the one that we've been longing for over 400 years since the last prophet talked about him. We've been looking for him, and now Messiah has come. He is Christ, but not only is he is Christ Adonai, he is Christ the Lord. Connecting clearly in their minds that Messiah comes from Yahweh, from God. You see, this is great news. He says to them, this day in the city of David, unto you has been born a Savior who is the Messiah from Yahweh, the one that God has sent to us. It is a message of great joy. And then as we conclude together, take just a moment to consider the meaning of joy. What kind of joy is this that he brings? Well, it's an immediate joy because he says, this day is born unto you a Savior. It's an immediate joy. The moment that we trust in Christ, the moment that we acknowledge he is who he says he is and that we need him, we find joy. But not only is it an immediate joy, it is a lasting joy. That joy that sustains us even when happiness may not be our current experience, joy sustains us until we get to experience it in its fullness in his presence and glory. It is a lasting joy, and it is a pure joy. Not only is it immediate and lasting, but it is pure. It is a joy that is not tainted by the world or tainted by my experiences or my circumstances. It's a joy that fills my life, that fills my thinking and my heart, that helps me, enables me to continue. Why was Jesus born in the first place? Jesus told us, I have come that you might have life and have it more what? Abundant, full, joyful. He came that we would fully experience life in all joy. In John 15:11, he said that which I reminded you earlier, I've told you this, he says to his disciples, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That's his goal for us, that we find his joy and that in his joy ours becomes complete. Psalm 5 puts it this way. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. You see, that reminds us of the source of our joy. We're not just happy this time of year because Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer make us happy. There's a whole lot more to it than that. You take refuge in the one who is a tower of strength. You take refuge in the one who is strong enough, who is, shall we say, bigger than all of this. We take refuge in him. Therein we find the ability to sing for joy. Notice again, who the message of joy is for. Unto you is born this day. Christ came that you might find real joy. Have you experienced that joy? Have you trusted in Christ personally? Do you have a relationship with him that enables you to go to him as the strength? Do you have a relationship with him that enables you to find refuge in him? Is he your deliverer? Or is he just some historic figure that you're willing to kind of go along with? Is he your personal Christ, the Lord, Messiah from God? Or is he really grandma's God and you've just kind of hung on for the ride? Have you found joy in Jesus? In just a moment, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation together. And when we sing, I want to encourage you, if you've never really trusted in Christ personally, I want to encourage you to come and give your life to Him. Ask Him to forgive you of sin and give you a new start. Don't go into Christmas again. Never again go into Christmas without fully experiencing hope, peace, love, and joy, all of which come only in the person of Christ.